2 Kings chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I have a lot to cover, and I'll do my best to be adequate yet not eternal. Verse 25, the background for this, the Shunammite woman had made room for Elisha, had a baby, it's a boy. The baby grew, the baby died. She took her baby and she laid him on Elisha's bed, and her husband says, everything okay? She says, everything's okay. And she went on her way to Elisha. And as in the story that we talked about many, many times, I preached several angles of this since I've been here. But Elisha representing God and the Shunammite woman representing us and the things that we can receive from God as we make room for Him. But that's not where I'm going to be tonight. But that's the backdrop for where we are. And so now she's on her way to Elisha to let him know. She's on her way to God to let him know that her son has died. And so we're going to look at that tonight. So in our story, Elisha will once again represent God or the presence of God, and Gehazi will represent you and me. Okay? So verse 25, it says, so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is very deeply troubled. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. I'm going to stop there. We'll get back in. Don't close your Bibles. We will read more from this story, but I want to stop there just for a moment. I want to share a couple of thoughts before I get into the crux of this. The Shunammite woman comes to find Elisha to explain that her son has died, and he sends Gehazi, the servant, you and me, to try to reach her and to minister to her. God has called you and me to do His work. He walked this earth once, and now He walks this earth through you and through me. And He's called us to do His work, and when He recognizes someone in need, there will be times that He will send you or me to them to find out what's going on in their lives, to find out what they need. He sent Gehazi, He says, go ask the Shunammite woman, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And when Gehazi gets to her, she says, yes, it is well. And so we find ourselves in that position. We go and we ask someone, is everything okay? How many of you ever asked somebody, is everything okay? They said yes, but something in you kind of knew it wasn't. And you took their word for it because you went, you know. So she says, it is well. But then she does something interesting. She gets past him and grabs a hold of Elisha. She moves past the servant of God to grab a hold of the presence of God. And there's a principle there that we need to understand, because Gehazi did something that many of us do. He became jealous and offended. He tried to pull her away from Elisha. He says, wait a minute, you told me it as well. How dare you bypass me and get directly to God? There's a warning there for us that no matter how important we find ourselves or believe ourselves to be, the most important thing is not people getting to us or us getting to them. The most important thing is for people to get to God and get to His presence where everything is found that they have need of. But Gehazi got a little agitated, irritated. Wait a minute. Don't you know I'm the servant of the Most High? There's a lot of competition and nonsense in the church. Wait a minute. You really want to touch God? Then you come through me. See the contrast between Gehazi and John the Baptist later? He must increase. I must decrease. My job is to point people to Him. Gehazi was like, wait a minute. If you're not... And that's not really the crux of what I'm going to say, because even with that, one of the things we're going to see is God still commissioned him. Gehazi still had a purpose and a plan. So I want to say this. If and when you blow it, it doesn't mean it's over. Gehazi's mistake and jealousy and uncertainty and trying to fight and keep the Shunammite woman from getting to Elisha didn't stop him from being useful to God. So somebody needs to hear what I'm about to say. It doesn't matter if you've made one mistake, two mistakes, or 100 mistakes. God is big enough to see past that, put you to use and effectiveness for His kingdom. He does not put you on a shelf. You put yourself there. Don't allow yourself to feel useless just because you may have done something wrong at one point. Guess what? We've all been there. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. But God doesn't give up on the one He's called. His calling, His giftings, they're without repentance. He doesn't say, well, you know what? You blew it. You had your chance. Now I'm taking it away. But Gehazi was like, wait a minute. You were given a chance with me. You did not allow me to be a part of the need in your life, and so I won't let you. As servants of God, we need to be conduits for God, not barriers to God. Hear what I'm about to say. If someone is blocking your access to God, they do not have the heart of a servant for God. And if someone is trying to convince you that if you want anything from God, it has to come through them, they're operating in a manipulative, controlling, competitive, demonic spirit, and you do not need to be a part of it. You need to cast it out. Gehazi was like, wait a minute. And Elisha goes, hey, Bubba, look out. She's troubled. She has a need. How dare you keep her from getting to me? And so as you're going and as you're journeying, guess what? No matter how awesome we become, he's awesomer. But Elisha stops. Now, okay, let's pick back up now. So she said to Elisha, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand. Be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came with his house into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hand on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child grew warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, picked up her son, and they went out. Elisha realizes that the child is dead. He realizes there's a problem with the child. He realizes that the Shunammite woman's soul is very vexed and troubled. She has a great need. God's able to see your need. He's able to see and know and understand what you have need of from Him. He doesn't look past you. He looks into you. And He looks out for you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're suffering, what you're hurting, what's causing the pain. And He's able to see it. And as a result, He commissions Gehazi. Listen, I said it already, but let me repeat it again. Gehazi messed up. But God still used him. You want to know why God needs Gehazi? You know why God needs you and me? Because there are people like the Shunammite woman who are hurting. There are people like the Shunammite woman who have great needs in their lives. And if somebody doesn't go to them in faithfulness and the call of God and share the gospel and take Jesus and take the presence of God to them, they're going to continue in their hurting and dilapidated, death-filled, death-controlled state of being. We need to be available to Him. You're like, but I don't think I can do it. Anybody besides me ever struggled with whether or not you have the ability to do anything for God? We all struggle. And you know what? At the end of the day, how on earth could we ever compare our ability to His? But guess what? He made you, and He gave you the ability you have, and He knows what you're capable of doing, and He's going to match that with the purpose He's called you to. And the point is this. It's not our ability that draws Him, it's our availability that He's looking for. Gehazi was available, and he was commissioned. And I'm going to walk through this, if I could. And I'm going to look through and consider His commissioning. He said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, take my staff, be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. The first thing any of us must do and fulfilling our commission from God is this. Number one, get yourself ready. Position yourself to be useful to and for God. Here's what I used to think. One of these days, God's going to show up and zap me and use me. In the meantime, I was growing fat, literally and figuratively. And I was thinking, well, if I just wait long enough, He's going to make it clear to me what it is He wants me to do. And I spent 90% of my life trying to figure out the 10% of the specific plan that God had for me specifically. Instead of spending 90% of my life covering the 90% of the general things He's called all of us to do and getting ourselves ready, be faithful to Him. Do what He's called you to do. Pray. Read the Word. Be in church. Fellowship with one another. Talk to people about Jesus. Share your testimony. Minister to people where they are and where you are. Don't wait for a golden light from heaven. Realize the moment is always right in front of you. And don't worry if you quote a scripture wrong. Don't worry if you attribute something to Peter that Paul said. Be faithful. Get yourself ready. I remember in... This really became clear to me in looking back in 2013 in September, and the Lord began to really speak to me and challenge me about my physical condition. He began to challenge me, and He says, "Are you disciplined?" I'm like, "Yes." He said, "In every way." I said, "Define every." Let's talk about that one, God. What about your physical condition and your eating and your exercise? And I'm like, that could use some work. And He asked me this, and it struck me. It riveted me. He said, "Do you really believe I've called you to do the things that you say in your heart I've called you to do?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Do you think you can physically handle them?" And I'm not trying to say this is what God speaks to everybody, but without question, I know I heard God say this to me. He said, "In your current condition physically, if I do the things that you say you believe I'm going to do, I will kill you." He says, "You have two choices. You change what you think is my call, or you get yourself ready." 56 pounds later, I'm continuing to get myself ready. Not just physically. Here recently, I was like, man, I can... This is what I said to myself the other day. Man, I can eat whatever I want. The weight just going to stay off. God said, "Where's that discipline?" He said, "I didn't call you to a destination. I called you to a lifestyle. I got to keep getting myself ready." Guess what? No matter how far we advance in any area of our lives, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, we never arrive. We always have to get ourselves ready. And that's the first thing that Elisha said to Gehazi. The first thing God says to us, get yourself ready. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for 3.5 years of ministry. He was constantly getting Himself ready. We must do the same. Be ready spiritually, mentally, physically, socially. Let me get to the mentally part for a minute. If you're not ready mentally, you will get crushed. Guess what? When you go out and you start ministering to people, you know one of the first things that's going to happen? You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to do or say something that's going to strike deep. And if you're not prepared and you're not ready in your mind and in your emotion, and if you're walking in your soul and not in your spirit, you will get crushed. And you will put yourself on a shelf. You have the mind of Christ. You want to know how you have the mind of Christ? Get the Word of God in you. "Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." He sent His Word and He healed. So many scriptures we could go through. The Word of God has got to be our preparation. Get yourself ready. Number two, He says, take my staff in your hand. In other words, take the staff and the authority of God and not the authority of yourself. He didn't say, "Gehazi, take anything you've got and go. You get yourself ready and just go." He goes, "No, now that you're ready, I'm giving you my authority." The staff represented the authority of the person. Remember God asked Moses, "What's that in your hand?" He goes, "It's a rod, a staff. Throw it down." And what did David say in Psalm 23? "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's something powerful about the staff. But He says, take my staff. Take the authority. Listen. If you're prepared and you go forth in the authority of God and the authority that He has given you, there's absolutely nothing that can't be accomplished for the kingdom. But if you go forth in your own authority, you're going to trip and stumble and fall along the way. I've tried it. I'm like, "God, look at all these things I'm doing." He goes, "How many of them did I call you to?" I didn't ask for that. I wanted a pat on the back. How many ministers of the gospel are here this evening? 100%. As ministers of the gospel, we have been given God's authority to carry. Jesus said after His resurrection, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Meaning, what I have, I'm giving you. Take my staff, take my authority. You see, and our effectiveness is tied to our continuing to operate in the authority that comes from Him and not the authority that comes from ourselves. Paul says, to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now operating in the flesh? There are a lot of people that have been called and commissioned by God. They start out walking and operating in the authority of God, and a little bit of success goes to their head, and their mental preparation was not in place, and they suddenly slip out of the authority and place of God and start operating in their own strength, and everything starts unraveling, and they start blaming God. So get yourself ready. Take God's authority. Number three, be on your way. In other words, go. Elisha gives him his staff. Elisha gives like, wow. Wow. Call all the friends together. Let's celebrate what God has done for me. Let me bask in the awesomeness of what I've been given in this moment. And let me hoard. Let me become a dead seed that receives from God what to hold it. I mean, a lot of people have done that. But He says, now that you have my staff, go. Remember Jesus says, all authority has been given, therefore, go. You know, it's interesting. If you read Matthew chapter 8 and the story with the legion, the guy with the demons, in the red letter edition of Matthew 8, it's all black and white except for there's one word that appears in red and it's just two letters. It's go. Jesus spoke that one word according to Matthew's account in Matthew 8. Go. And the demons went. After His resurrection, He says, therefore go. And we're like, well, I don't know about that. I think we should be at least as obedient as the demons. He says, go. Let's go. Do not marvel at the power in your hands. Do not marvel at what God is doing. And remember, ministry does not happen at the moment of commissioning. The moment of commissioning is the release into the going. Number four, do not become distracted. If anyone greets you, don't greet them back. Don't greet anybody along the way. Do not become distracted. Now, there's a huge difference between being distracted and being interruptible, and being available and approachable. Jesus was always available. He was always interruptible, but He was never distracted. Mark 10, He's on His way to Jerusalem. He's focused. Those who were following behind Him, they were amazed and they were afraid. They're like, oh my gosh, He's so focused. And Bartimaeus off to the side, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. They're like, shh, He's on mission. Don't bother Him. Be quiet. No, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus, on His way, focused, going to the cross, knowing He's about to fulfill His purpose, stops and ministers to someone who's in need. He wasn't interrupted. He wasn't distracted. He continued on His way toward... See what I'm saying? Don't mistake that. Don't be like, oh, I can't talk to anybody. I'm on a mission from God. Don't make yourself so focused on completing the mission from God that you might miss a little few godly, disorderly detours along the way and divine appointments that He brings into your path that you need to address and deal with. But don't be distracted. Don't allow things to get you off course. I read this week about John praying Hyde. It says it should be pointed out that he was not a recluse or a hermit. He was relatable and interacted with others all the time. Nobody prayed as much as that guy, but nobody was as available as him either. When we allow circumstances, however, to distract us from the commissioning that has been placed in our hands, we will find ourselves never getting to the place where life is truly needed. Even though He took a moment to be interrupted and minister to Bartimaeus, it didn't distract Him from His purpose. It didn't stop Him from completing His purpose. So, ever been in those situations, though? I know we have. Some of us have talked about it. You're like really focused and you're on a mission and somebody says, hey, you got a minute? You're like, ah! Get me behind me! Be relational. Just don't be distracted. Number five. He says, when you get there, He says, get yourself ready. Take my staff. Go. Don't be distracted. And number five, lay my staff on the face of the child. And let me say it this way. Lay my staff on the purpose to which I've commissioned you. You know what the face represents? The life and the purpose of that which you've been called to do. He didn't say, take my staff and lay it on the child's knee. This is a powerful principle. Take my staff and lay it on the chest. Take my staff and put it in the child's hand. No, he says, lay it on his face. Lay it right where life is either seen or unseen. Lay it right on that which represents everything to which I've called you. What I've called you to now is in a state of death. So I need you to lay this staff right where the first place you recognize there is death. Lay my staff on the purpose to which I've commissioned you. Again, the staff is God's authority. Don't just bring the authority of God around the purpose of your calling. Place it squarely on the call, on the face of the calling. For example, if my purpose and mission is Matt, and I've got the staff, the authority of God, I don't just go over and say, see that? Oh yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, I tried God, nothing happened. I brought your authority into their presence. You know what it means you have to do? It means you have to release it because it ain't about you anyway. When he laid the staff, he didn't say, hold the staff on the child's face. He said, lay it. What does it mean when you lay something? Lay, you see that? Lay my staff on the child's face. That which I've given you, not only do I not want you to hoard it and think it's all about you, I want you to give it away. Because those who need it can't receive from it if you don't release it to them. Lay my staff on the face of the child. Place it squarely. The face represents the place of reflection of what is going on inside of the individual. Lay my staff, lay my authority right where it's being reflected, what's there. In other words, whatever's reflecting death, lay my authority there. Whatever's reflecting the greatest need, lay my authority there. Whatever's reflecting that which doesn't represent me squarely and fully and makes it seem as though something has the authority to take away what I've already given. You see, this child was a gift from God and now death had stolen it away. And he says, take my authority and lay it right on the face to represent that it's not over yet because I've not finished what I called and commissioned the purpose of this child to do. When you walk into a situation, you may not fully understand what it is that God has purposed from the beginning. And you may walk in and be like, well, this is dead. There's no chance. There's no hope here. But everything that is dead now, God brought it to life at one time with a purpose and with a reason. And when you lay the authority of God on the face of that which is currently dead, there's an opportunity for His life to return back in it and complete what His purpose was at the beginning. In other words, put the authority of God right in the face of the enemy's greatest work. Don't just bring the staff into the room where death exists. Lay it right on the face where death is represented. So now we get a transition point. Guess what Gehazi did? Everything he was told. Guess what happened? Nothing. How many of you have been there? God, I did everything you told me to do and nothing happened. Gehazi goes and he does everything that he's been told to do. As he went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and he told him, child is not awakened. He goes back and he says, listen, Elisha, I did what you told me to do. Nothing has changed. So Gehazi goes to Elisha, representing God, and informed him. He says, listen, I've done everything you told me to do. You said to get yourself ready. I got myself ready. I did that. You said, take your staff. I took your staff. You told me to go. I went. You told me not to get distracted. I didn't. People tried to talk to me. One person offered me a steak and I passed it up. It might be this. God, somebody called me and offered me a better opportunity in ministry. And I said no because I was trying to be faithful to what you called me to do. Maybe I blew it. Let me interject a quick story on that note. We were in Kentucky. It is around April or so of 2010. We knew in our hearts that it was time to move on. But we talked with this church in northern Indiana. And contacted us and they showed a lot of interest. And it was like, wow, this could be like the most awesome, most amazing, ideal opportunity we're ever going to get. And we had some services scheduled with Mike and Linda to come to Kentucky. And I told the people, I talked to them there at the church in Northern Indiana, and they said, we're really interested. What do you think? And I'm like, well, we got an evangelist coming this weekend. I don't want to make any decision until we've had those services. And they're like, fair enough, I understand that. And so the services went well, but nothing really changed. And I'm like, I remember we talked, and I said, it looks like we're probably going to go to Northern Indiana. And God says, no. Tell them no. I'm like, funny. What do you really want me to do? And so I tell them no. And I wrote that letter, and I thought, this is foolish. This is crazy. But this is what God has called us to do, and I released that. That was in April of 2010. And they sent me a letter back, and they're like, are you sure? We were convinced. They said, I didn't keep the letter because I'm like, it was going to make me sick if I kept it. They're like, we were convinced you were to be our new pastor. God, did I miss you somehow? Was there something that, and I wrestled with that. And I'm like, and here's what I told myself. I've been faithful and I've been obedient. Therefore, God's about to bust out here in Kentucky. Things are going to turn and we're just going to have this mighty thing start happening. Guess what? It got worse. And I started allowing myself to think, wait a minute, I got myself ready. I took your authority. I went. I didn't get distracted by a bigger and better opportunity. I've laid your authority on the face of the greatest need, and nothing's happened. You think, Gaze, I might have been there? Now what? It was a year later that we started pastoring here in May of 2011. We were voted in April. Exactly 1 year later, we ended up here. And the whirlwind of situations and scenarios and things that played out, and like looking back, it seemed like 15 years, but it was just one. And so God knew what He was doing. And He also knew that where I was in my own life at that place, at that time, to go up to Northern Indiana, and the unhealthy place I was spiritually, it would have been a mess. But He says, listen, I've done everything You've told me to do, and nothing has happened. You see, one of the biggest tools the enemy is going to use in ministry is discouragement, disappointment. God, I did everything. I feel like You pulled the wool over my eyes, God, and I feel like I've been let down, and everything I try fails, and I watch somebody else, everything they do, it just explodes and turns to gold, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong, God. Discouragement. Gehazi was faithful, but he saw no results. He had been given the staff and mandate of authority, yet through him it had no effect on the situation to which he was called. Well, I guess God gave His authority to the wrong person. Don't let the enemy lie to you like that. The story doesn't end here. But don't let the enemy convince you that this is where the story ends. I want you to hear that. Because the enemy will convince you and I, as we're serving and as we're being faithful, in those moments we don't see the results we think we should see, the enemy will convince you that that is the end of the story. But I've got news for you. It was the faithfulness of Gehazi that paved the way for the presence of God. Let's say it again. It was the faithfulness of Gehazi that paved the way for the presence of God. Because when Elisha showed up, everything had been prepared, the way had been paved. We don't find that he comes back and says, here, dude, you gave me your authority and nothing happened. For all we know, the staff is still laying on the face of the child. The authority of God is still working because He didn't take it back up. He placed the authority where God said. He placed God's authority where God said so that then God Himself... You see, listen. He took the authority God gave him and laid it on the face of the need. And then when the presence of God showed up, God laid the entirety of Himself on the body of the need. Listen. We must remember that God has called us to be faithful and not successful. If we faithfully use what has been placed in our hands without having anything to personally prove His kingdom, we are successful. He did not call me to save anybody. He did not call me to heal anybody. He did not call me to deliver anybody. But He called me to faithfully walk in the authority He's given me so that where I go, I can pave the way so that He can come and save, heal, deliver, and set free. We are not defined by the results of ministry. We are defined by faithfulness to the Spirit. Jesus isn't going to say, "Well done, thou good and successful minister." He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it doesn't matter if you've been given one talent, three talents, five talents. You be faithful with what God has given you, and He'll take care of the results. Here's what happened. Elisha goes in and stretches himself on the child. I already said this, but the obedience of Gehazi, the servant, paved the way for the coming of the presence of the master. Gehazi the servant, Elisha the master. Gehazi's faithfulness paved the way for the presence of the master. Number two, Gehazi had gone ahead and been faithful and obedient. The number one thing our faithfulness and obedience will do is pave the way for the presence of the Lord. You ever heard it said, "I don't want to get ahead of God"? Sometimes He sends you ahead. Sometimes He sends you on ahead of Him with His authority. Because the disciples are like, "Where am I going to prepare the Passover?" He says, "You go ahead of me. And when you meet this guy, you tell him what you need. He'll show you to have it prepared. You go ahead of me and you get it ready so that when I come, everything's ready." Don't miss that principle. He knows the beginning from the end. He's everywhere at all times anyway. There are times He will send you on ahead to prepare so that when He comes, everything has been made ready. And you're like, "But nothing happened." But oh, you don't understand. You don't understand what your faithfulness has prepared, what the atmosphere has been prepared because of your faithfulness. When Elisha walked into that room where that child was, the child may have been dead, but there was life in the atmosphere because Gehazi had been faithful and he had laid the staff on the face and everything representing the authority of God suddenly had filled that room. The child may not have been alive yet, but he was about to be. And that's because the atmosphere and the way had been paved and prepared by the servant who was faithful. Next, when the presence of the Master comes, all things become possible. I laid your staff on His face like you told me. Here's what He didn't do. He didn't bring it back and say, "Here you go, Elisha." And Elisha didn't say, "Let me show you how it's done, boy." God's not trying to one-up you, make you look bad. And when God shows up and does something, and somebody forgets that maybe you paved the way, who cares? If you're faithful to Him and He knows that, that's all that matters. Right. Gehazi didn't say, "Wait a minute, this child wouldn't be alive if I didn't." Wait a minute. Hold on before you start celebrating Elisha and raising this child to life. Don't forget what I did. No, leave that alone. Elisha did not take the staff back and lay it on the face of the child. He laid himself. When you faithfully use what God has given you, regardless of the results that follow, He will do what He can do, and His results will follow. Gehazi was faithful with what had been placed in his hand. And he laid the staff on the face. And Elisha came and laid himself. Let me finish this with this. When the child was restored to life, and here's how God brings it all full circle. The child was raised to life. Guess what he does? Guess what Elisha does? He goes, "Gehazi, I need a favor. Go get Mama. Go let her know her child's alive. Bring her in here so she can have her son." You know, you can see a lot of different principles here. A couple things on heart or touch on. He says, "Go, remember the lady you tried to keep away from me? Now I need you to go and bring her to me so I can give her back her son. Remember, Gehazi, how you thought you failed? Now I'm going to make you an integral, direct part of the miracle that's happening. Because you've been so faithful, Gehazi, even though you may have started out wrong, now you started, son. You finished this real well. And you were faithful, and you paved the way, and now the son's alive, and I'm not going to call her and take accolades to myself. In fact, if she thinks you did it, that's fine with me. You go and you get Mama, and you tell her to come into this room, but she needs her son back." And in response to what was done, the Shunammite woman worshiped the Lord. The point of our faithfulness is to point people to Him and to see that He receives all the worship that He deserves. Friends, I want to remind you, and I want us to leave here tonight with these thoughts. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. He called you to do great things for Him. There are many needs. There are many situations that are dead, and they need the life that you carry. Remember we talked about with Eutychus when he fell out the window and Paul grabbed him and he says, no, there's life in you. There's life in you. And there are situations God's going to commission you to and call you to. And it's going to be this. Going to get yourself ready. Take His authority. Go in an undistracted manner and faithfully do what He's called you to do. And in the process of doing that, don't get caught up, distracted, and looking at the results. Pave the way. Do what He's called you to do. Make way for Him in His presence and His fullness to come. And when you do that, I promise you, there's no worldly success that could ever compare to that kingdom success right there. Don't get distracted by what you do or do not see. You walk by faith and not by sight. You don't see the child wake up, that's all right, because the master's about to step into the room. You may not see everything happen immediately in the way that you think it should happen, but that's all right. As you're faithful, He will honor that. And He will step into the room and bring life where you think life can no longer be brought. He's got a plan. He's doing great things in you because He's going to be doing great things through you. Elisha knew he could entrust this to Gehazi because he had been with him for so long. And it doesn't matter if you feel forgotten or looked over. God knows who you are. He knows who you are because He's been with you for so long now. And He knows what He can send you to do. And He's going to say, here's my staff. Time to go. Bow your heads. I got to stop.